Welcome to church. We are so excited that you're here today. You know, it is Palm Sunday, and because of technology, we're still together. I love that we are able to be the church, whether or not we're in the building together. And we're not going to stop being the church. We are committed to being the hands and feet of Jesus outside the building. And so for the month of April, I want to tell you a little bit about something you can do from home. We're going to be collecting resources for one of our local partners. They're called the Wish Project, and they're able to help people with needs that are important in this season. And so on April 18th, we'd love for you to drive by back to Harbor of Hope's parking lot. And from 10 to 12, we're going to be collecting toothpaste and shampoo, and we'll get more information to you as we get closer to that date. But know that as a church, we're committed to staying people who care for all of us, outside the walls, inside the walls. And the very best way that you can partner with us is to go to our website, harborofhope.org. And when you go there, there is a place for you to let us know if you'd like to have a moment of somebody helping you. I know that's hard, but know that we're here for you. And maybe you're in a place right now where you can help others. You can click that button as well, and someone from our care team will connect with you. And as soon as there's a partner for you, we're going to connect you. So we're so excited for you to be here, especially all our kids. I want to say hi to everyone from Kids Harbor. I hope your mom or dad had a chance to read the note from Miss Abby. What we'd love for you to do right now is to use this time to make a little card or a bookmark for somebody that we want to thank. Aren't we all so thankful for the people who are working so hard for us right now, the doctors and the nurses, the people who are working in grocery stores? And so we can't wait to see what you produce. At the end, Jeff's going to look at it, but take a few moments now. Maybe you want to send your teacher a note. Whatever it is, use this time to just bless somebody. Because at Harbor of Hope, you know what we love to do? We love to celebrate the generosity. What Jesus did for us is what gives us the ability to care for others. And so Harbor, can I just take a moment and thank you? You have been so generous in this season when it's so easy to kind of shrink back and hold on to the resources God's put in your hands. And some of you have just stepped out in faith these last 2 weeks. And I just want to thank you. And if you've been wondering how you can contribute, the easiest way is to take out your phone right now and text the word Harbor of Hope, just as one word, to the number 77977. That's the easiest way for you to set up recurring giving. And can I just tell you, there is no gift too small. One of the most exciting things for me is to see how God takes the resources we've put back into his hands and he multiplies them. And know that we are committed to being a church that's blessing the community around us. So sit back. We're so excited you're here. Amy has an amazing message for us. Welcome to Harbor.
Good morning, friends. I also look forward to this all week long and hope you do too. There is something about meeting online like this that just emphasizes the magic of gathering together. I love looking around and seeing families snuggling on the couch together. I love seeing Frank pick up his violin during worship every week. It's like the best. I love seeing at least a few of us every week, including me, just brought to tears by seeing one another arrive in this virtual room. But my favorite part of meeting this way are those last 5 minutes that we spend together at the end. Just the total chaos of everyone shouting at once and blowing kisses and waving at their friends. You can't understand a word anybody is saying, and it is the most beautiful noise of the week. I look around and I love you and I miss you, and there is something so incredibly special about gathering together each week in the name of Jesus. There is a well-known Bible verse about gathering together. You know where I'm going with this? It's in the book of Matthew, chapter 18, verse 20. And Jesus himself says these words as part of a teaching to the people who are around him. He says, "Where two or more are gathered in my name, I am with you." We love this verse. We should love this verse. This verse empowers Christ followers all over the globe to gather together every Sunday, believing that by doing so, they, or we, are inviting Christ to be present with us. And we are. It's true. Where we show up, Jesus is there. But this verse wasn't actually spoken to empower church communities to come together and worship on Sundays. While it is very true that the Holy Spirit is in all of these internet neurons that are connecting us right now, however that works, this verse was actually directed at people in conflict. It's contained in a section of the Gospel of Matthew where Jesus is explaining to his friends how we're supposed to treat each other when we disagree. Don't worry, we are not heading back into another series about conflict today, I promise you. No, we're talking about love today. And in this verse that we hold so dearly, rightfully so, Jesus is explaining to the disciples that he, Jesus himself, is a sort of magnetic force that is always present between two people who love him, even when they're angry at each other. Jesus is saying to them, I am that space between you, even when it's hard, even when you're in a fight. And if Jesus sits in the spaces between us when we're at odds with one another, don't you think he sits in the spaces between us when we're longing for each other? Of course he does. Jesus is the space between us. And this means that when we are at odds with one another, we're still connected. And when we're longing for one another, we're still connected. The Holy Spirit literally fills every molecule of air between you and the people you love, you and the people you're sick of. Every molecule of air between you and the people you miss terribly is filled by the Holy Spirit. Think about that. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God himself, fills every molecule of air between me and you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you, between all of us. Thank God for that. Last week, we began a series taking us through our vision for being a church that helps people find their way back to God by being a community that lives fully, loves deeply, and gives freely. This has been our vision for a long time. It's incredibly familiar. We've got people in our community who have live, love, give tattooed on themselves. These are familiar words, but right now, literally nothing feels familiar, does it? So it's important for us to revisit how these ways of living actually apply to this new reality that we have to live within right now. And last week, we talked about living fully when we're sheltered in place, seemingly an oxymoron, right? But no, we live fully because we are literally a temple of God himself. He fills us. No matter where we are or how empty our surroundings feel. And this week, we're wondering how we are supposed to love deeply when it hurts so much right now. See, we're all in a slightly different situation right now. And not every single one of us is experiencing the same thing, but we're all going through some kind of strain. We all have some kind of strain on our relationships. Different strains, different kinds, but strains nonetheless, difficulties. Loving one another hurts a little extra right now for all of us. Some of us are sheltered at home alone, and we miss literally everyone in our life. Loving others is sad. Some of us are sheltered at home with our families, and we're juggling homeschooling and virtual work, and it is just bananas. And our relationships are strained at best because we just aren't used to spending this much time together. And loving one another is exhausting. Others of us are getting up every morning and going to work in a hospital or a grocery store. We're leaving our kids and our spouse behind and would give anything to be able to spend the day at home with them, not worrying about being exposed to this disease. And loving others is wrapped up in anxiety. Loving others, no matter what kind of scenario we're in right now, is really, really hard. It hurts. And it does not look the way it looked a month ago. It's all changed, and it's changed very fast. Me personally, I've been basically enjoying the extra time that I have at home with my family. I like being able to see my kids more often, and I'm working from home, thank God. But it's not easy juggling two of us working and a first grader needing homeschool attention and a two-year-old needing literally everything else. We're stumbling all over each other all day long. And I miss my colleagues so much, and I miss you. It was my birthday this week. And a dozen of my colleagues from school drove to my house from like all over Massachusetts to sing happy birthday in my driveway. And they were all separated by the requisite 6 feet. But it made me cry. And it made several of them cry too, because we miss each other a lot. Loving people that I'm used to loving is actually harder than it usually is. And it hurts more than it usually hurts. But the Holy Spirit fills every molecule of air between us. And so when we pray for people, no matter how hard or how hurtful it is to love them in that moment, what we do is we light every one of those molecules up. We activate the Holy Spirit in our relationships with others. And that space between us, no matter how big or how painfully small it is right now, it radiates with light. Imagine on the cross, Jesus praying for the people who stood at his feet, gambling for his clothes, mocking him. Imagine Jesus praying for them and activating every molecule of air between he and them and every other person on earth for the rest of time. The bright electric glow of the most painful, self-sacrificial, ridiculous love that has ever existed. That is loving deeply. The space between. Loving people hurts these days and we're exhausted by it and we're far apart or we're way too close, but that space that makes it hard, that space that makes it hurt is precisely where Jesus lives. Today marks the first day of Holy Week, the week leading up to Jesus' death and resurrection, which we are going to celebrate wholeheartedly as a community. But today is what many people will know as Palm Sunday. It's the day that Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, humble but confident. All four of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, retell this beginning of the Holy Week story in close matching detail. In John chapter 12, we read that the news that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem swept through the city. And a large crowd of Passover visitors took palm branches and they went down the road to meet him. They shouted, "Praise God, blessing on those, the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hail to the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and rode on it, fulfilling the prophecy that said, "Don't be afraid, people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming, riding on a donkey's colt." And his disciples didn't understand at the time that this was a fulfillment of prophecy. But after Jesus entered into his glory, they remembered what had happened and realized that these things had been written about him. This scene of Jesus riding into Jerusalem is dramatic, and it's recounted in detail in all four of the Gospels. People, by waving palm branches, which was a Jewish national symbol, these crowds of people were hailing Jesus as the Davidic king, echoing the language of the Psalms, hoping that Jesus really is this promised Messiah. But most of the crowd probably understood the title of King of Israel in a political or military sense, hoping that Jesus was going to use his amazing powers to resist Roman rule and lead the nation to independence. He didn't quite do that, though. The people are lining the road and they're screaming, "Hosanna," which is a Hebrew expression that means "save us." It's an exclamation of praise. And they yell this at the one that they call the King of Israel, demonstrating their real expectations of this person to be a political deliverer whose identity is as the Messiah that was promised to them. They have high expectations. And Jesus is making his way into the city where all the leaders were, marching to a place where he knew he would be betrayed, captured, killed, where he would put his friends and family through the ringer, turning their world upside down, destroying all of their expectations. See, they expected political deliverance, but in mere days, all of their plans and expectations would be destroyed, along with the human life of their leader. This was a love that hurt and was hard, but ultimately saved humanity. These are real events that happen to real people. It's a real story about passionate, painful, difficult love, and Jesus stepping right into the space between himself and the rest of humanity, lighting up all of those molecules and making it possible for us to become temples of God himself, filled with the Holy Spirit, living fully, loving deeply. And this week, we get to enter into the emotions of the apostles and the bystanders as they experienced this cataclysmic, dramatic, wild story of the end of Jesus's life. And this year, we get to do so from within a world that is living our own kind of cataclysmic, dramatic, wild story. We're closer to these emotions of stunning grief, rapid change, demolished expectations. We're closer to these things than we usually are. And that's a gift. Because we know the end of the story already, and it's love. On the other side of this stunning grief is deep, everlasting, electric, spirit-filled, glowing, deep love. In Colossians 3:14, Paul writes, "Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony." Love is the glue. It's the stuff between us when love is hard, when love hurts. No matter how broken or painful or strained or far away love is, Jesus is love. The space between God and us, the love that forever binds us together. To love deeply is simply to notice this, to notice the glowing molecules between you and other people as Christ himself, and to respond. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for being the space between us so that we may always be connected to one another, whether we are far apart and longing for one another's company, or whether we are so close that we feel strained and exhausted. You are what bind us together, and thank God for that. Lord, we beg the Holy Spirit to be active between us, to light these molecules of air and set them aglow so that we can notice you and respond to you by allowing our hearts be changed by the utterly amazing gift of your life and of your death and of your resurrection. Bless us this Holy Week as together we celebrate the incredible gift that you are. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Amen. That was beautiful, Amy. So Harbor Community, we have a time each week where we like to just set aside a moment to remember Jesus, to remember his life and his death and his resurrection. And it's a time that we call communion. If you're sitting down right now, if you're someone that is prepared and wants to join in a moment of communion, and I would just encourage you, go ahead and grab a cracker or some small piece of food and some sort of juice, or if you have wine, a little bit of wine, and feel free to join in this moment. If you need to pause and go get that and then come back, you have the privilege of doing that since you're watching this as a recording. And if you're someone that is maybe on the treadmill or going for a walk, or maybe you're not able to just go ahead and grab some elements to join in communion, I just invite you into this moment and just kind of into a posture where you can just receive this moment of communion and to just remember Jesus in your own way and just to acknowledge him and to remember him. So when Jesus was at the table with the disciples at the Last Supper, he asked them to remember him with bread and with wine. So every week we take a moment and we take the bread and we remember Jesus. So let's go ahead and take the bread together. And at the table, he also called his disciples to take wine, which I have cranberry juice, and to drink that in remembrance of him, in remembrance of his suffering on the cross, and that as he's raised to new life, that we have relationship with him, we have relationship with the Father all through Jesus. So let's take a moment to just drink the wine and remember Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Allie. What a way to close today, by sharing communion together, worshiping together, praying together, and loving deeply from afar, from different times, from different spaces. It's not normal. It's not what we're used to. But Jesus is alive and moving through us and in our connection through every aspect of it. Our kids have been working on thank you notes and cards all service and maybe through the week as well, to give to the people who have been serving them, to the mail carriers, the garbage truck drivers, the teachers, the grocery store workers. So kids, you guys are loving deeply by thanking those who love deeply every day. So thank you guys for loving people deeply in your lives. But as you all go from here, have that posture. Keep an eye out for where Jesus is working, for where Jesus is drawing you to connect with others and love others, even when you're in your own homes, because he is alive, he is love. So let us love like him. And if you don't know where to start, where to stay connected, where to love, we want you to stay connected through the week, stay connected to us, stay connected to each other. And probably the best way to do that is by going to our website, harborofhope.org. And we have all the information you need to stay connected, to watch our services, to join in the live service, to listen to our podcast, for information how to give, for how to serve, and how to be served. So you can go on our website, our app, or our social media and stay connected and love deeply through the week. Will you pray with me? God, thank you so much for being bigger than this situation, for being faithful, for lighting up molecules of yourself between us. God, I pray that as this experience, this situation draws on, that you are present with us, that you remind us of who we are created to be, and that has not changed, even in isolation or busyness, God. Remind us of who you are and draw us together as a community. We pray this all in your precious and holy name. Amen.